Elvin Jones on drums is the heartbeat of this piece, believe it or not, called Midnight Walk, the title track of his 1966 album. A stellar group of musicians keeps the rhythm going, including brother Thad Jones on trumpet, Hank Mobley on tenor sax, Abdullah Ibrahim on piano, Don Moore on bass, and George Aben on percussion. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and I must confess, some misgivings about our topic today. It started out to be something else, and the more I thought about it, the more I thought I should change it, and so I have. I don't know about you, but I feel very uncomfortable and uncertain and very, very doubtful, and yet very certain, if you can follow this track that I'm traveling on, about where are we as a nation? What is it that we understand, if we do understand anything about where we are? What is it that we understand about where we are? Who's in charge here? I thought and thought and thought about that. That's a very important question. And it seems to me we haven't broached it and we haven't really discussed it in some detail. And we haven't expressed our feelings about whether we're anxious, whether we are indifferent, whether we have other things that we're worrying about, because it seems like the nation, the apparatus of governance of this nation is headed in one direction, and the opposition is headed in another direction, and the people, well, they're not even considered in the formula of governance, you know, the we the people part. It seems like it's open season. Do whatever the heck you want to do. Trump seems to be doing whatever he wants to do. Congress seems to be doing whatever it wants to do. And that leaves us to figure out what the heck are we going to do? I can't remember a time in recent history that it seems we were so unclear about who is supposed to do what. Where are we going? What's the plan? Whether a Democratic administration or a Republican administration, with all of the, you know, the turmoil that we had witnessed in the past, it had never come to this stage. It seems to me, I could be wrong, maybe I missed it, but this degree of fragmentation and chaos and lack of direction and incompetence and people who are totally unqualified for the offices that they hold, but nonetheless having the authority to do things that we have to live with. I don't get it. I don't remember in recent history that we have reached such a point of utter confusion and being so directionless that the power of governance is in hands that we can't trust, we don't respect, and we don't have very much reason to be confident in their decision-making process. It's as if they forfeited that right a long time ago. And just the same, life goes on. And we have to pretend that this state of affairs is is not supposed to bother us. It's not abnormal. It's part of of American democracy. So don't even complain about it. Why are you complaining? The system is strong. And yes, we will see from time to time all these conflicts. But that is a signal of the strength of our democracy, we're being told. So calm down and let the grown-ups handle things. But look at what they're doing. They're not even grown-ups. They're infantile. They are puerile in their way of behaving and acting and thinking. They have not yet fully developed. They seem to have no concept at all of what it means to be a government, what you're supposed to do. And they seem to care even less about accountability to the people. It seems as if they are running a government and running this country to please maybe a dozen people, and the rest of us could go to hell. They're getting done what they want to get done. They have their agenda, they're seeing to it. Get used to it. That's the attitude. And even those fragments that remain of the Democratic Party or of liberalism in this country or progressivism in this country are falling silent. It seems as if they are unwilling to sound the clarion, make the clarion call. That being, get into the streets and back our agenda. They don't have an agenda. How could the people back an agenda that isn't there? They seem to have lost, to put it in a more elegant way, intestinal fortitude to question anything that is going on here. They seemed also to have lost faith with their constituencies. They should know that when they issue the clarion call, there are people coming to respond. But they don't seem to have that faith either. So we're in a bind, some kind of a bind. If it matters to you, this arrangement called governance, what is this bond? Does it exist anymore? Do we have it? Should we be perturbed about what we are experiencing? Who is running this country? And more importantly, what is running this country? And why is it that people are so, I don't know, okay with it? Why are we okay? Every now and then, something major happens and we have a spasm. People react to the specific thing. But aren't we supposed to be having a broader vision? Aren't we supposed to be looking at the future? Aren't we supposed to be in constant battle with a system that seems intractable and dug in and guided by principles that we abhor? Isn't that what is supposed to be the case? Our mindset should be not settling down and seeing what's next, but we should be prepared for constant warfare against the system because it is anti-human. It is wrong-headed. It is rooted in white supremacist thinking. It is rooted in the belief of constant warfare. It has created schisms in the United States that we haven't seen before, and that is exactly their plan. So, who's running this country? And what is running this country? What is the mindset running this country on all sides? Bernie Sanders gave a very interesting live talk. More than 1 million people tuned in to watch what he had to say. But what the heck does that mean? If you're not mobilizing, if you're not confronting systems, including within the Democratic Party, the Democratic Party is a shambles. Because still, all of the energy is going toward one thing and one thing only, and that is get Hillary and Bill Clinton out of the rough spots that they're in. All of the, they're sucking up all of the energy, all of the oxygen, still. And they're being permitted to do that. And the party hasn't had the guts yet to say, no, you are not entitled to all of this oxygen at all. All of the priorities that should have been at the top of the list right now, they've gone down to like number 30 and number 35. The main thing is to salvage the Clintons and all of the energy, all of the money, all of the attention is about them still. On the flip side of the coin, we have a wholly and totally underqualified, at the very best, unqualified is really the word, president with mental problems. And on his side of the line, his folks are not yet ready to admit. They've got to do something. The president is out of control. This country is being run in a way that we've never seen before. Nobody has seen this before. Nobody knows whether by midday Donald Trump will drop a nuclear bomb on some country or declare war on another country where your sons and daughters will have to go, not his and not him. Sure, they're making money. A lot of people are making a lot of money, but not the people who ought to be making more money. We have crooks. I remember I talked some time ago about the swamp and the sinkhole. Both of them are in Washington. And I said, the oldest, dirtiest, most corrupt swamp there is the swamp of real estate. That's where Trump and all who concern him, that's where they come out of. You find felons, as in Jared Kushner's daddy. That's where they come out of. These are not the kind of people you would even want at your dinner table. Or if you've had them at your dinner table, you'll be checking the silverware after they leave. The country has sunk into a an unparalleled low. It used to be you looked to the president's office of the president for some kind of character, some kind of leadership, some kind of exceptionalism, but not in a bad way. Somebody being exceptionally ill prepared to be president and bringing in more people who are exceptionally bad at their jobs. And we're just going from day to day thinking, well, somehow they'll figure a solution out. And when they do, we'll know what it is, and life will go on. No. No. We have seen enough to get us at least, at the very least, very perturbed. Because while they are gallivanting and doing their thing, the assumption is we, the people, will pay for it one way or the other. We're not yielding the benefits of the election of Donald Trump. We're not yielding the benefits of a newly invigorated Democratic Party and opposition. It doesn't exist. We're not hearing bold new ideas. We're not seeing evidence of great leadership on the horizon. We don't even see the prospects of a turnaround of these events, of even the possibility of a turnaround. So, the question on the table today is, who's in charge here? And what kind of fuel is this vehicle running on? Who's in charge? It seems a whole lot of people are in charge, and then nobody is in charge. And with respect to your peculiar and pertinent interests, I shouldn't use the word peculiar, that has a wrong and negative connotation, but I meant it, meaning your specific interests as a voter, as an American, with regard to your specific interests. Who's in charge? And what's happening? Who's calling the shots? What should we expect in the next 3 months, 6 months? Not this day to day, we'll measure the temperature and see what it says. And we are still putting our faith in the words of Donald Trump. That's a really bad place to be. The Democratic Party seems almost dead. The third parties seem very dead. So who's calling the shots here? Is it you? Is it us? Are we the ones calling the shots? Is there evidence that we are? Is there evidence that we even can? Are we prepared to call shots about anything? Do we have an infrastructure? Do we have a vehicle? Do we have a plan? See, we've been kidding. They are not kidding. They're not kidding at all. They're clear about what they want. They've organized themselves to get what they want, and they're getting what they want. And we're sitting on the sidelines speaking conceptually about power, hypothetically about power. And we have none, nor do we have prospects for power. So who are we kidding? All right. So that's what's on the table. We'll take this break so that you could put your minds together and come up with some kind of an answer. We don't expect that you will give us solutions. I'm more interested in what is your thinking about the crisis that we're in? What could we possibly do, if anything, to break this Gordian knot that has our necks in the middle of it? This is hard thinking today, but I feel great about the prospect of you leading us closer to some kind of answer. We'll figure that out when we come back from this break. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Eutrice Lead, and this is where you get to chime in at 888-874-4888. And we're looking, we can't expect answers. All I would be grateful for is something broaching an analysis of where we are, answering as closely as you can the question posed. Who's in charge here? And what's in charge here? 888-874-4888. Tom from Connecticut, we start off with you.
As hard as I try to think about these things, I don't know who's in charge. You can only surmise from various people who put forward ideas of deep state, secret, whatever, who's behind who. But what compelled Thomas Paine to write, "These are the times that try men's souls"? It seems to be endemic in trying to deal with government, in trying to deal with social situations. I saw a documentary at the final day of the Olympics that talked about the Mexico City Olympics when Tommy Smith and John Carlos stood with the gloved hands, and the social issues that were cities were burning, people were rioting, Vietnam War was out of control, and to even equate today to those times is kind of difficult because it seems relatively calm in comparison. And it's very, very difficult to try and sort these things out.
Okay, but you're not giving us an
Well,
answer or even a hint.
I don't. You said you didn't expect the
I said that. I know I said that. But that doesn't mean you have to take me literally.
answers.
The issue I'm asking is this. We are political people, are we not? And somewhere we ought to have some kind of a rudimentary understanding of, that map by the elevator, you are here. That's what I'm trying to get us to understand. Where are we?
We're seemingly at what I mean, I'm 65. I guess in retrospect, given my age, I wasn't as aware of how galvanized the public was when I was in my teens during Vietnam, or, you know, even during the Reagan years. I think things seem to have really galvanized to the point that there's no real way to even broach topics of common ground, to even find some place to start for a conversation of how to fix this or how to go about it. You know, I had a blowout with one of my lovely relatives, you know, when I brought up anything about Hillary, and they just went on this rant that this is all, you know, manufactured, this is that, this is fake news, Fox, what the hell ever. And it just got to be, I said, like, time out. There's nowhere to go with this conversation. We can't even have a civil conversation anymore. And how that plays out in the political arena, let alone trying to pick a candidate or trying to put anything forward locally that might help you. I'm in Connecticut. And, you know, people that carry on about Democrats, and we've had a Democratic legislature and governor for a very long time that have run this state to the point of being the only place worse is Puerto Rico as far as fiscal conditions. I mean, supposedly the most affluent state in the United States. And we're out of control because of seemingly Democratic control. And then Republicans on some other part of the spectrum are out of control in whatever states they control. It's a very, very trying time is all I can say.
Okay, but you got us started today, and I thank you so much for contributing. Susie from Vermont, next door to Tom, you're on the air.
Hi, you trees. I'm very happy to talk. Hello, you can hear me?
Yes, indeed.
Okay. I'm very happy to talk to you. I've been listening to you for a while. I kind of tend to look at things from a real big picture. And the theme that seems to be running through here seems to be the enough is enough. And I don't know where it's going to take us. I don't think anybody knows, but it just seems like there's like this ping pong thing going on where everybody is just getting to the point where you're throwing all the cards or the papers up in the air and just going, I'm lost, I'm gone. And so that it restructures kind of from that let go or surrender or something like that. That's getting a little too existential, but that's what I think. It's just that pervasive thing of enough is enough, and it's on all scores, every generation, crossing generations. That's what it feels like to me. So I just felt
like...
Let
me ask you, and I'm going to kind of get a little bit personal, not a lot, but a little bit personal in asking you this question. In your own experience, in your own awareness, who's in charge?
That's the ultimate question. I think it goes back to the individual.
I'm talking about you. This is where you get personal. Tell me about you and answering this question. I think X or Y is in charge.
I think I'm in charge. And I know that sounds, you know, flaky and fairy and whatever, but I think that it's, you know, something's got to start coming from inside, and to not get so engaged with the positive and negative about anything, no matter what your perspective is.
And what are you in charge of?
I would say, you know, again, this gets real, whatever, I don't know. But it's like my own personal power. Do I have to engage in this, you know, right and wrong consciousness? I just have to know what's right or wrong for myself and just get on with my day and what's for dinner and just, you know, find a place that's enjoyable in my life and just trust that things will work out. You know, I think
Which part of what you just said is capitulation and concession?
You know, I would not use those words at all. I wouldn't at all. I would say it's because I feel that I feel like it's an empowering point. And I know that sounds kind of backhanded or like reverse or something like that, but it seems like the momentum that we're going in is not really creating anything that's making me feel any better. I don't know about you. You know, no matter what side you're on, it's just bounces around like a ping pong ball going back and forth.
So right now, your mindset is, I'm going to try a little bit of something on my own. Are you trying this thing on your own because what you're seeing and witnessing is not making sense?
Yes. I would say it's nonsense, actually.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, Susie, you have just indicted the political process. I hope you can live with yourself.
Well, you know, it comes down to definition, really. You know, the politics of things, whether it's in government or if it's in your, you know, where you're going for dinner tonight, you know, it's to me, everything is getting a little bit slip and slide. And that's why I say, looking at the big picture, I think people are just getting to a level of discerning when enough is enough. And I think it's going to build something good.
I thank you for your very frank and personal assessment. It took a little bit of courage to go there. But you are a courageous person, and I thank you for sharing that courage with us today. Jeff from New Jersey, who's in charge?
Hey, how are you?
Okay.
Hello? Ah, good.
Yes.
Good. Glad to hear it. All right. Are you really ready for this answer?
I'm ready.
All right. Today, Democrats and Republicans are the same. And they're the same because way back when, the beginning of the time, the dragon threw down one-third of the stars to the earth. That means that one-third of the angels came to the earth. Now, Gabriel spoke to Daniel, told him he was fighting when he had a dream. But Gabriel spoke to Daniel, said, I was delayed because I was fighting the Prince of Persia. This is what angels do. We fight at a government level. So everyone that you see right now in the government that is, you know, you need to divide this into between good and evil, okay? Because either you're good and you're building something, or you're evil and you're destroying things. Those that are in government right now are destroying things. So they're the evil. They're those angels that came down to earth. And, of course, their job is to destroy man. I ask a question a lot of times about our maintenance of the earth. Are taking care of the earth. And the question is, in your marriage with your children, what is the worst thing a person outside can do? And it's not steal your wife or steal your husband. It is turn your children against you, where your children are destroying the home that you built for them. Your children are disobeying you because you are the provider. And what you have will be theirs. So in turn, when they're destroying your house, they're actually destroying their own property, and they're destroying themselves. And that is exactly what we've been trained to do with polluting, with...
Jeff, if I could encourage you. You're taking this thing to a very high level, and I appreciate the effort. But talk to me directly about your consciousness of where we are. And from your perspective, who and what is in charge of our collective lives?
All right, well, we are in charge of our lives. However, there are people who can make it very difficult. And those people are the ones who are the narcissistic, the self-centered. Someone said something about politics. The problem with politics is not that the problem is not politics, but the type of people that attracts, the people who need the attention, the people who need to have the power, want to have the power and display it because they have something in them that's a little bit short. Those are the people that are in charge right now.
But power supposed to be a two-way street. The people who have
right.
the power, that's one side of it. And then there are people who are to maintain checks and balances on that power. What's wrong with the equation now?
Right. And I would say that the folks, like the caller before, what is happening is we're at that crossroads. We're at the crossroads where we have to decide what we're going to do with our life. That's our power, because we have the power to not participate in that system. We don't like the banking system because it's sapping the American people. Or we don't have to participate in it. That's our choice. That's our power. But they have made it so difficult to organize through their spies and all this other stuff. And really, basically, they've injected in our lives this sense of, this thing, we're always busy. They don't pay you enough to come home and go to a PTA meeting. You got to come home and go to your next job. So you can't be effective on the school board. You know, you can't organize your unions now. You can't organize your community because everyone is working. And if they're not working, then there's a fear in the community. The police, even with the police, they have the communities that are in trouble are gated. And by that, I mean the perimeter. You asked Michelle Alexander, about the new slavery. You're contained. Step out of that area and see if you don't get harassed. You know, I live in a predominantly, was a predominantly black town. And the towns around it were white. You step over into that line, you're getting pulled over. And I'm talking about walking. What are you doing here? So those communities are gated, and things are allowed to go on in there that make you afraid to come out of your house. So how do you go to that church meeting if you're working a job or you're afraid? You know, they've done a very good job of making it very difficult to come together and organize. And
difficult,
the answer
yes,
what we need, what
but
we need
not
to do?
Impossible. This is
not
the question.
Impossible.
You know, we have all kinds of reasons why what mm-hmm. we should be doing can't get done.
Well, this is where we're at.
I'm not negating the very legitimate points that you are raising, but I'm saying at some point.
Well, that's what I think
we're
at the point.
We're going to go ahead anyway.
Yeah, and that's where we're at. I think there's going to be a day where all students, college, elementary, high school, are going to walk out. They're going to walk out. They're going to walk out and say enough is enough about our education and how you're training us, and everyone else should follow suit. Stop.
Well, thank you. Thanks so much for your contribution today, Jeff. Thank you so much for putting on the table quite a few things for us to consider today. David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Utrice.
Hello.
I've been hello. I've been listening to all our students at your seminar, and it makes me get down to basics. And here is what my perspective is. Number one, I think all the people, all the masses of people who live here have to start off at the beginning. And that is an understanding that who's in charge. When you say who's in charge, we're talking about the oligarchs and plutocrats, the 1%, the people who have the most wealth and income, they're in charge. Someone like the president has to be acceptable to them, and the apparatus of the legislative body, the judiciary, and the executive, those people work for them. And another thing that I think everyone should understand is that the ruling class, and those people that I mentioned are the ruling class, they don't care anything whatsoever in the world about the masses of people who live in this country or in any other country also. They only care about enriching themselves at the expense of others, either by regular capitalism here or throughout the world through their imperialism efforts. And that's something that all of us need to get through our heads. So this idea of so-called Republican and Democrat Party and whatnot, those are instruments of the ruling class. And they are very skillful at this because they get to have the people thinking that they're in charge by voting for one of these two divisions of the same group and thinking that this is so-called democracy. This is, you know, ridiculous because everything that's done here is done from the perspective of benefiting those who are in charge and those at the top that I just mentioned are in charge. So we got to get that through our heads. And a lot of people don't have that ability because of the indoctrination and propaganda that we have that tells us that we're running things, we go to vote and whatnot, and you only can vote for Republican and Democrat. Those are the only viable chances you have, and making you think that you're in charge and you're not in charge of anything. Because everything is done for the benefit of those at the top. You know, I mean, and when you think about it, I've heard people talk about various people are traitors, like Trump is a traitor to the Russians and so forth. And no one thinks about most of the imperialists that involve in capitalist enterprise in this country are traitors to the people. Why would you not be called a traitor when you take your businesses, your factories that you have, your capitalist factories, and remove them from the country and send them somewhere else in order to get more profit? You see, so we got to put those things in perspective. Most people are not going to hear that in the corporate-run newspapers, but anyone that would close down the factory and move it to some low-wage area is a traitor to the workers in their factory and traitor to the country. And, you know, we got to just get that through our heads. So who's in charge? The people at the top and the rest of us. We have to get in our minds that they don't care anything whatsoever in this world about us. They care only about profit.
So, David, what do you really think?
That's it. That's
it.
You can't get that in your head, that they don't care anything about you. Then there's something going on. I mean, I know you go to these schools, and most of what is taught in the schools and in these colleges is propaganda. I didn't learn anything until I started studying on my own. You know, when I met people like Dr. Clark and Dr. Ben and Professor Van Sarma and, you know, and other people, you can't expect people to understand what is going on until you start analyzing and doing system analysis and studying on your own. People have to get out there and study to understand the system. The system is not in any way designed to benefit the masses and people. It's designed to benefit the capitalists who run this place. And All you have to do is look at the laws of the past. Every, just about every law is done to make certain that they stay in charge. If they pass a law that's a benefit to masses of people, this is a reaction to make sure that you don't get the people out of hand and rebellions going and whatnot. They don't care anything about the people, and that includes the ones who they enlist in the military to go and fight and be killed for their capitalist enterprise. So, you know, people have to get this in their head. But I know it's very difficult for most people. They don't understand what's going on, and they'll even defend their worst enemy. I know the brother that talked about people trying to defend Hillary. I've experienced the same thing. So, I mean, and it is so hard to get across to those people. So the ruling class is doing a wonderful job in let's say, jiving the people or playing them to go along with their system of capitalism, imperialism, enriching themselves at the expense of everybody else. And all you have to do is look at the wealth for them is going up, and the wealth for the people is going down in this country. And people have to get it. They have to understand what's going on and study hard in terms of system analysis to find out what's going on.
Well, I thank you. I thank you all, because this is a great start to this conversation. It's not going to end today, but I'm glad that we started so forcefully today and convincingly, which encourages me to think that despite everything that would lead you astray, you still have an idea that you need to recalibrate your thinking about who is in charge. You know something, you know intuitively that something is very, very wrong. And the more we talk, the more you will have the opportunity to examine what it is you're thinking and to see whether you should or whether you even want to take another look at it. Because what you're thinking, in fact, is going to inform your actions. And this is what I'm interested in, and this is why I love the program that brings us together as a community. So we trade off of each other's knowledge and experience and expertise, and we start building. We start doing the work that others are not doing, but you can't hold people responsible for doing the work that essentially is your own. So thank you so much for getting us started so well today. And we can continue this tomorrow, as a matter of fact. Stay tuned. Coming up next, The Infectious Myth with David Crowe. And we'll see each other tomorrow. But in the meantime, I thank you for your beautiful contributions today. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.